This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Just across the Manatee River from downtown Bradenton, Palmetto, at the beautiful new Marriott Resort and Spa, bringing back the Bucks. And I'm with Elliot Falcioni, Executive Director of the Bradenton Convention and Visitors Bureau. Really, it's all about tourism and brokering these great relationships, being a Pittsburgher, Elliot, and being here for more than three decades now. You have done a tremendous job of connecting our cities. The natural, you know, I guess the common thread has been the Pirates for spring training, but we've learned there's so much more. And there are so many Pittsburghers in this region, as you know.
Well, as you know, Larry, it's hard to leave Pittsburgh, but if there's a home away from home, it's Bradenton, Florida. And with the help of the Pittsburgh Pirates, Rich Fitzgerald, to establish the sister city relationship, it is, you know, smiling ear to ear to see all the Pittsburghers, the Pirate jerseys over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, and Rich is here with his wife, Kathy, taking in some Pirate games and just relaxing for the weekend. And I do want to thank Tony DeRusso, who's the managing partner of the Marriott Resort and Spa. They actually have just outside the property on the Manatee River, they call it the Beach Club, brand new with an infinity pool. They've got these paddleball courts, giant chess set. If you want to go out later, Elliot, I can play chess with you there. And this gym and workout facility, it is a world class, and it's new, connected to your convention center.
Well, that's what gave this Marriott the resort and spa designation. We needed this beach club. We're sitting in Riviera Dunes along the Manatee River, a 300-acre master plan development, and this is the new addition to that development.
And we want to thank our general manager, Greg Cassio, born in New York, raised in New Jersey, lives in Florida, but he's a Steelers fan through and through. We love that. Thank you.
Well, we're bringing Greg up this August, and we're going to get him a tour of Acrisure Stadium and let him enjoy a Pirate game.
You know what he's got to check out? This, the Steelers' relatively new Hall of Honor. It is terrific, and if you're a fan, it's a must-see. So when you're coming to a game, Greg, and thank you for your hospitality. We appreciate you.
He came wearing a suit, but you know what, Larry? He looks like a middle linebacker, doesn't he?
It looks like he works out. He looks like he could, you know, squeeze your head like a grape.
30 plus years as a general manager in the business. We're blessed to have him in our community.
Yeah, that said, Elliot, you've come a long way since the back-to-back hurricanes, and thank God nobody was killed. A lot of damage, but in the process, this is peak season, spring break into, people may think summer vacations, and yeah, that's big, but this is prime time right now, and everybody involved, including you, did a remarkable job just getting everything back to normal.
It was amazing. The resiliency of the community, the businesses, the governments, turning a negative into a positive. You're right. We didn't have loss of life. We had our beaches. We had our bridges. So we were able to get the barrier islands open quickly. A little tidbit, Larry, as you know, the water ferry goes from downtown Bradenton to Anna Maria Island. We're moving about 600 passengers a day to and from, get the people out of their cars, onto the water, enhance multimodal transportation, and it's a beautiful attraction heading out there to enjoy.
And that said, the fact that this is a relatively new amenity, and for those that don't know, if you look at Tampa, most people know where Tampa is on the Gulf, and you go, depending on traffic, could be short as 45 minutes, heading down along the waterway. It's actually a beautiful drive. Skyline Bridge, past St. Pete. Then you get to Palmetto, where the Marriott Resort and Spa is. And then just across the river is downtown Bradenton. Then you have Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key, and people also very familiar with Sarasota.
Yeah, absolutely. To give a Pittsburgh perspective, we're like sitting in Upper St. Clair, and downtown Pittsburgh would be downtown Tampa. That's the proximity. But going over to the Sunshine Skyway Bridge from Tampa, 10-mile bridge, 225 feet from top to bottom, one of the most beautiful bridges you'll find in the world. And we use it as a geographical location so our target market understands geographically where we're at.
Yeah, you can actually see it, by the way, when you're on the island or certain places in Bradenton, downtown Bradenton, you're able to see the bridge.
Well, we got you enjoyed dinner at the Oyster River restaurant up on the top floor of the Marriott. Beautiful views of the vista of the sunset in downtown Bradenton. And then, of course, across the river, the Spring Hill has the rooftop restaurant owned by Pittsburgh native David Kako. So
there's always a Pittsburgh
There's always connection. A Pittsburgh connection.
And when I say that, it's absolutely true. And with the Pirates now wrapping up spring training over the weekend and early next week, then you have the Marauders here. So if you're a baseball fan, there's plenty to like. And Monday night, the Moody Blues perform on the island.
John Lodge, the original lead singer of the Moody Blues, at the center on Anna Maria Island. Gosh, Larry, we're going to have a lot of friends there from Pittsburgh that night. And once again, produced by the great Rich Engler. Can't wait for that concert to take place.
And for those wondering, weren't you just there, Larry? Yes, I was. But we did a series and really almost like a documentation of the progress you made after the storms. But at this point, nobody's really talking about that. You have pretty much a normal peak spring break, end of spring training season going.
We're open. You know, it's our job to make sure that our target market understands that we are open for business. Sometimes the national media describes it differently. And then you don't want to have success for other areas that are struggling, like Asheville, North Carolina. Gosh, what's happened in Southern California, and it's really taken that media focus away from us. So we're doing really, really well. Now it's time to say, Pittsburghers, come on down after Easter. The weather's great. Nonstop flights. You flew Southwest nonstop from Pittsburgh to Sarasota, Bradenton, 2 hours.
It's 2 hours in the air, and also Allegiant. Important that you know, Allegiant doesn't show up when you search Priceline. You have to search Allegiant, but they have a beautiful aircraft and nonstop right to Sarasota Bradenton Airport. They have their own now. You built out, how many gates are there?
Six new gates, $110 million terminal. You flew in it the last time that you were here. We paid cash for it. And that added 12 additional nonstop flights on Allegiant. Their Airbus is now wrapped with the Bradenton area branding. And then on the other side is Sarasota. We're the only destination in the United States that has branding on an Allegiant jet.
You could have put my picture on there, too, but I get you.
On the tail, like Alaskan Airlines.
All right, Elliot Belcioni, thank you for your hospitality. We got a big show. You're going to hear from a lot of people related to what's going on here, but also we've got some important information about the fact that the Department of Education will be no more, apparently. This is the Big K Morning Show. Paul Skeens' rookie card went on auction for, what, $1 million? And $1 million plus. Not bad, because it was one of one, and there was a lot of talk. Pirates had offered all kind of stuff, 30 years of seats behind the plate, all these other amenities, including Libby Dunn hosting in a suite for a game and all this. But it turned out the young man from California won it. Did you hear about this?
Your max bid was $900,000, I heard.
Yeah, I had to shut it down after that. How about this? A NBA jersey auction, a couple of sweaty, unwashed basketball jerseys could end up costing someone as much as a fancy yacht. Sotheby's is auctioning off Michael Jordan's first ever game-worn NBA jersey, and also the late Kobe Bryant's, too. Jordan's is from his 1984 preseason debut in Chicago. Kobe's from his rookie year in 1996 and has the number 8 on each. And each is expected to go for at least $10 million. Who are these people that can afford that?
You remember Larry Wayne Gretzky bought Honus Wagner's vintage card years ago. Spent a lot of money on it.
But it's exponentially more valuable now.
Yep.
And Honus Wagner lived in Carnegie, didn't he?
He is, and he's buried in Jefferson Cemetery in the South Hills.
You know that why?
Because it was in my backyard.
Yeah, and you grew up, you went to Baldwin.
Yes, sir.
Along with Dave Wannstedt.
Kevin Newman? No, not Kevin Newman.
Newman? Who?
I'm trying to think of all the Baldwin alum. I'm coming to a blank.
Kevin Newman. Where'd you come up with Kevin Newman?
Kevin, he's a writer for the Trib.
Kevin Gorman. Thank you.
Yes,
I got
sorry
you.
About that. Yes.
I got you.
Yes.
That's Elliot Felcioni, by the way. You can search him on.
Jason Mackey's a Brentwood guy.
Yeah. You have a lot of impressive.
It's in the water.
Alum.
Yes.
There. How about this? A Chinese tour guide says he makes more than $40,000 by carrying female tourists up a flight of stairs. He calls himself a climbing companion, and he helps people trek up thousands of stairs to the peak of Mount Tai in China. He starts by holding their hand, usually ends up carrying them in a fireman lift over their shoulders for the last 1,000 stairs. He says he does it twice a day, and he just started hiring additional people to help. This is something, Elliot, you should consider here in Bradenton. You can have carrying companions to get people, you know, when the sand is hot in the summer, carry them off the beach. Interested?
No.
Hawaii may have figured out how to build affordable homes using surfboards. A Hawaiian architecture firm has figured out a way to use waste from those foam surfboards to make bricks that are fire and termite proof and cost less than cinder blocks. Hawaii has, believe it or not, the highest homeless rate of any state in the union, probably because it's also the most expensive state to buy or build a house, costing $100,000 more than the national average. Have you ever been to Hawaii?
I have not yet.
No, I have not either, and I would like to go and see it. It's a far drive, though.
It's a far drive, and Waikiki, they say, is very congested.
See, when you get to California, then you got to go another, 3,000 miles?
Yeah, and that's a long swim.
It is. So that's some of the other stuff that's going on, but that Paul Skeens, they ended the auction and went for over $1 million. Show Larry Richard broadcasting from the beautiful Marriott Resort and Spa here just across the Manatee River from downtown Bradenton and Palmetto and in this beautiful beach club. And we're bringing back the Bucks. But I want to dial back to what Michael Spaciopoli just talked about in his editorial. And Paul Rasmussen, as a reporter, I know you can appreciate what George Barber must have went through just to cover the walk in Selma 60 years ago. And I know we're proud of the history of KDK being the first and those kind of things, but I think it's exceptional that we had a man who was willing to risk his life to tell this story.
Well, we have to thank the eldest daughter of George Barber, Jacqueline Barber, who brought this to our attention. And the reason why she did is because the John and Lillian Miles Lewis Foundation is involved in commemorating this march from Montgomery to Selma, Alabama. And what they've done for the 60th anniversary is that they've taken segments of the reports that were filed for KDK Radio by George Barber, and they've made them available during a commemoration back earlier this month of Bloody Sunday. A couple of plaques, one at the Song of Selma Park, which is at the foot of the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And the plaques have quick response codes, QR codes, linked to four segments of the reports from Barber. as you pointed out, the only black radio reporter to go the whole 54-mile route. And again, I want to say thank you very much to his eldest daughter, Jacqueline, for sharing this with us, because I remember it wasn't long ago that we were doing stories about his passing here on KDKA.
And how about Variety Magazine in 1964 published a story with the headline, George Barber as KDKA's first Negro in 43 years gets to the core of things to recognize the work that he had done. And when you think back to those days, which we can't relate to one-on-one, it included interviews that George Barber had with marchers from everyday folks who were simply marching for a better day for their children and their children's children, to notables, as you mentioned, John Lewis and Viola Luzio, a white woman who was killed by the Ku Klux Klan after transporting persons to the march, and Jim Letherer, a man who had a leg amputated by cancer, but he walked with crutches in the march, and a rabbi, Abraham Herschel, Jewish scholar and philosopher, all coming together along with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And we actually have some of the sound from a report that George Barber filed with KDKA. Hang on, we're trying to cue that up. In the meantime, we do want to thank the family and know how much it means to the history of KDKA.
Just to give you some idea, by the way, Larry, just to put a finer point on what Barber risked by doing what he did, because he was the only black radio reporter to cover this major civil rights event, the entire thing. But what his daughter shares with us is that he got separated from the people who he was marching with, and they were all protected by National Guard troops. So he wound up running for his life, the white racists that were trying to stir up trouble along the route.
And by the way, he had very, very humble beginnings. One of 13 children born to a poor coal miner and his wife living in Oakdale, Pennsylvania, he overcame poverty and racism, and at the age of 96, passed. Now, here's a part of one of his reports.
Pick them up and lay them down. Rise, rise. Let me hear a little sound. Rise, rise. Pick them up and lay them down.
There was a Selma to Montgomery march that was scheduled to take place. So at the staff meeting, it was pointed out that we weren't going to send anybody to cover this Selma to Montgomery march because it was too dangerous. And I spoke up and said, I'll go. And there was quite a reaction, because here I am, the only black in the room, black reporter, and Jack Ways, my dear friend, he said, you go. They'll kill a white reporter, but you, they'll tar and feather. And so I kept talking. I found myself on a plane headed for Montgomery, scared stiff.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
So we celebrate the life and courage of George Barber on KDKA.
The Goldberg, Persky, and White News Desk. It is the Colonials' time to shine against Alabama today in the NCAA tourney. RMU head coach Andy Toole.
They're going to go out to compete. They're going to go out and they're going to want to play the game the way we've been playing it. They're going to want to play well, and they're going to go out and they're going to go out swinging.
And I love how Pittsburghers are supporting, no matter what school they went to, RMU and their coach of the year, Andy Toole. We wish them all the best against the Crimson Tide.
Airports worldwide, including Pittsburgh International, are affected by an airport closing in London.
Heathrow Airport will be closed all day today due to a power outage caused by a fire at a substation that supplies the world's busiest airport. More than 1300 arrivals and departures
Larry
will be
Richard
affected, and the closure is expected to cause
Marriott
major
Resort
disruption over the next few days.
In the Bradenton area,
boy, it's the butterfly effect.
Bringing back the Bucks
this really
weekend, and as they
Paul.
Get ready
Absolutely.
For the season. Houston next Thursday on the road in Miami. Yeah.
200,000 passengers a day.
Pittsburgh to host a day. The Yankees, the home opener, 2 weeks from today.
And a one-of-a-kind Paul Skeens rookie card
yesterday,
sold overnight
news,
for big bucks,
President
more than
$1 million.
Trump
signed an executive order to eliminate the Department of Education.
I'm jealous.
You knew that they wouldn't reveal the buyer's name.
Necessarily,
well,
a big surprise.
Let's not say that.
However, we'll
what
skip
happens
that
next
is
and that's what people are talking
us
about. Thanks,
is
Paul.
Pennsylvania State Senator Lindsey Williams representing the 38th District. Senator, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
So, the million or multiple million dollar question is, what does happen at our level here in southwestern Pennsylvania for public and private schools? Do we have any idea, kind of sorting through the details of what this will mean for us?
I think we're still trying to figure that out. I know, you know, there's a lot of students and families that are angry right now, that are scared, not, like you said, not surprised, but this is going to have a real impact on students and their education and the future of the Commonwealth here. So there's this fallacy that you can just eliminate the Department of Education at a federal level and push the money in a big block grant down to the states. And that's not accurate. The federal government plays a very important role in administering our education. So while the control is at the states and our local school districts, they're the ones deciding curriculum, hiring teachers, doing the day-to-day work. But the federal government is the place, it's the only agency that's directly responsible for the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, or IDEA. So that is where our rights to a free and equal education live and are enforced. And if you have rights without enforcement, that's meaningless. So that's what is scary moving forward, is that, one, what's going to happen to the money? But two, what is going to happen to the enforcement of our rights to an equal education here in the whole country?
We're with Senator Lindsey Williams. Also, planning. If you're putting a budget together, obviously you need to know where the money's coming from, or in this case, not. So where do we stand when looking at a budget for the future for education here in Pennsylvania?
I was actually with one of my school districts, their superintendent and their whole school board, about two nights ago, and they were walking through their challenges with the budget, you know, increased cyber charter education costs, increased costs for students with disabilities, increased facilities costs, and they said, look, you know, we're always struggling to figure out what money is coming from the states, because Pennsylvania has kind of a history of not finishing our budget on time. You know, we're supposed to be done at the end of June. We're, you know, sometimes months later than that. And they're like, we're always trying to figure out what that is because we have to figure out our budget right now. But the federal government, that portion has been fairly predictable. And now it's not. Now they don't know where the state money's coming from, and they don't know what's happening to the feds. Federal money, and Pennsylvania, we can't budget because we don't know what's happening with the Fed. So there's so much uncertainty where districts are trying to plan programs for the next year for our students, and they're really struggling. And it's not just the education line item, like that's the biggest piece. But, you know, my school district talked about the cuts to Medicaid impacting their students because those funds are used to transport students with disabilities. They talked about money for telecommunications and stuff that like traditionally goes to libraries, also helps them keep down their costs for buying things like computers and laptops and things like that for students' iPads. So all of those things are kind of coming together and nobody really knows the answer. All we know is that the result is going to be bad for students.
Well, the president says he wants all the states to decide how to educate students because the outcomes for the country compared to other countries haven't been satisfactory in many cases. So what do you say about the state taking over full control of education, or did you think we were already there?
The state really has the bulk of the control. The Fed enforces the right, but the bulk of the control lives at the state and has lived at the state and lives in our local school districts. But cutting enforcement and cutting dollars is not the way to improve our educational outcomes. The only thing it's going to do is make that worse. The cuts at the federal level are not going to improve student outcomes, and they're not going to help you with your property taxes. None of that is going to help. It's only going to make it worse.
Where do we go from here, Senator? You know, the biggest line item in the budget is always education. What happens next?
I think everyone who is listening, they should call their congressmen, their senators, and tell them their story. Tell them about what their school means to them, to their community, to their kid. Tell both the people who you think aren't with you so they know, but also tell the people who you think are fighting for it. Let them know your story so they can use it. It really is impactful to understand the impact that these cuts are going to have, and that's the only way that we have a hope of stopping it is that if families tell their stories.
Senator Lindsey Williams, representing the 38th District, appreciate your time this morning, Senator. You got your work cut out for you. Thank you.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
And when we come back, we're going to talk to the mayor of Bradenton, Florida, who's with us live at the Beach Club here at the beautiful Marriott Resort and Spa. And it is a beautiful sunrise. We'll be right back at you. I'm bringing back the Bucks from beautiful Bradenton, Florida. Larry Richard, broadcasting from the new Marriott Resort and Spa just across the Manatee River from downtown Bradenton, actually out at their Beach Club. Come to find there's 75,000 gallons of water in this infinity pool that overlooks the river, and it's heated. A little chilly here in Florida this morning, but going to be a great weekend for baseball as the Pirates wrap up their spring training and get ready for the regular season. Hard to believe in 6 days. And joining me, Executive Director of the Bradenton Convention and Visitors Bureau, Pittsburgher at heart, Elliot Belcioni. And we're joined by Mayor Gene Brown of Bradenton, who I've known now for multiple years. And Mayor, good to have you come out to the Beach Club. We just watched sunrise.
Yes, we did. And it's great to be here this morning. You know, you said it's a little chilly out now, but it's going to warm up to be a beautiful day and a beautiful weekend for the kind of the final weekend of spring training. And we're just lucky in Bradenton to have the Pittsburgh Pirates and the area, really. And you just look at how fun it is and what a great season so far. It started with spring training.
You've actually seen this relationship grow firsthand, and it has grown exponentially, because one of the things, Elliot, you wanted to do was not just have Bradenton known as spring training for the Pirates, but all the other amenities that the city brings.
And under the mayor's leadership, redevelopment is going at a really high pace, Mayor. But I'm really intrigued for you to share with Pittsburghers your City Hall project just across from Pier 22, the restaurant there.
Yeah, what we've looked at is obviously City Hall moved there about 25 years ago, and there was a little controversy when it was moving onto the waterfront and what had happened. And I'm just going to put a shout out to Mayor Bill Evers, who passed away this week. He's a 20-year mayor. Basically was the architect of keeping the Pittsburgh Pirates here in Bradenton when they were ready to leave to maybe to go to Lakeland or somewhere else, but did a great job at, you know, working a deal with the Pirates to keep them here long term. As we know, they've been here since 69. I was born in 67, so basically been here my whole life and as the spring training. But when you look at that development that's going to happen downtown, which is going to actually spark the growth from our Riverwalk and with Palmetto and with this Marriott and grow all the way to Lecom Park now. And it's going to be something that it'll have a hotel, about 100 condos, probably around 300 residences for luxury apartments, and then about 80 to 90,000 square feet of retail right on our waterfront. And that's something that we think will really make us, you know, kind of like Pittsburgh, a little bit more walkable. When I've been to Pittsburgh, it's very walkable.
That Riverwalk is beautiful, and it's over the years, so I've been coming here 24 seasons, and I've personally seen the growth and change. And one of the biggest changes is this beautiful Marriott Resort and Spa that we're in and their Beach Club, because it connects to the convention center, and as you know, that helps when you're trying to attract different conventions to come here or shows. It's a huge factor. Like we saw last night, they had basically what was the Oscars of the real estate business.
Well, the benefit to that too, and Palmetto and Bradenton are sister cities, like Pittsburgh and Bradenton from from there as sister cities. But when you look at how we grow together, it's very important. And that's one of the things that I'm proud of is the relationships we've had. And the businesses now see that. And we're so glad that what Tony and the Marriott has done to build this up in Palmetto, which was a challenge, is a stretch. But you're seeing that fruits with the connection of the river. We have the river. We have the connectivity of Bradenton and Palmetto, and that's exciting.
That river, for those that don't know, the Manatee is exceptionally wide. You know, in Pittsburgh, you've been there many times, Gene, and you've seen we have the three rivers. Mm-hmm. But compared to the width of the Manatee River, is it what, Elliot, at one point, maybe a mile wide?
I would say almost a mile, probably six, seven-tenths of a mile.
And you just came off the regatta last month. How did that go?
100,000 people came in one day, and it really what it does is it stimulates the economy in the urban core. This convention center attached to this Marriott, it's going to bring $30 to $40 million a year to the urban core. So you have to feed your small businesses. And then finally, the mayor's done a good job creating the cultural district, the Manatee Performing Arts Theater, where Steve Blass did his speaker series yesterday. We're breaking ground on a new theater conservatory. And then adjacent to that is a brand new arts center that should be finished this calendar year. Great things happening.
And then at the Manatee Performing Arts Center, there's an expansion there, or is that part of
the conservatory? Will have a bridge, so you'll have technical theater training, music training, dance, all under one roof. And then the Bradenton Pops just moved into the theater, so now we're gonna grow our orchestra in downtown Bradenton.
Is it true, Elliot, you're leading the dance ensemble?
I'm going to try to play the hobo at some point.
And Mayor Gene Brown of Bradenton is also, and I love this because we share this passion, a high school football broadcaster 36 years in. And I know you do it like I do what I do because I just love it.
Yeah, no, that's something that started in 1989 when I got out of school. My brothers were on that football team at Manatee High School, and it's a nationally known product out there when you look at it. We've had our ups and downs, as all high school teams do, but right now we're kind of up. We went to the semifinals last year and lost to the eventual state champion in St. Thomas Aquinas. This year we're flying in Bosco from California to play them in the first game of the season, looking at probably doing a doubleheader, possibly with IMG. They'll come to our stadium, play the first game against a New Jersey team. They're not sure which one yet. They're working on that, and we're hoping it'll be live on ESPN.
That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And IMG Academy is a big deal. That's a tremendous amenity that draws a lot of unique visitors because it's a destination point.
Yeah, definitely. And IMG's brought a lot to us in this community. Elliot does such a great job with our tourist development and the things that we do. And that's what I'm proud of. And I think that one thing that I look at when you talk about all the national politics and the state politics, government is best close to the people. And when you're with the people and you're giving them the amenities and the things you need in your town, it really works out a lot better because they can get to you. And you can if you can keep the money in your town, you can get the money to your people and make it better.
And we need, as citizens, you know, bipartisan working together efforts that produce what you got going here. Bradenton Mayor Gene Brown, thanks for coming over and getting up early.
Now, to watch this sunset over here and what we have every day is worth it.
All right. Appreciate you. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard broadcasting from beautiful Bradenton, Florida, and just across the Manatee River. Palmetto is the new Marriott Resort and Spa. We're at the beach club portion along the Manatee River with an infinity pool, all these new paddleball courts, a giant chess set, and checkers. And if you want to work out, feel the power of the full burn. And joining us is Tony DeRusso, who is the managing partner of this great group that brought this facility here next to the convention center, actually connected to. The only downside, Tony, is you're connected to the office of Elliot Felcioni. He's close enough to be dangerous.
Well, I got to tell you, we worked really closely together for about 6 years, and I think we appreciate having a little bit of space, but the partnership has been just nothing but incredible. We wouldn't be here without Elliot and his team and all the work that the CVB has laid here for 28, 30 years.
And so how does a guy from California end up on the other coast?
It's really a long story. Actually, when I first looked at it from my desktop, it looked like the answer was going to be no. And fortunately, I was encouraged to come to the market and spend some time here. And I woke up the next morning with my feet in the sugar white sand of what I felt was a Corona commercial. And I thought, well, this is beautiful. And then from there, it was really only uphill. I got to meet Elliot. And he toured me around the town, and what a great ambassador for the Bradenton area. He knows everybody. He introduced me to IMG Academy and It Works, Feld Entertainment, Manatee Memorial Hospital, just some great organizations here that really desperately needed a full-service hotel, and they were really kind of crying out, asking, please, please build this resort for us.
Yeah, the demand, I would imagine, for, and you know this, you do the studies about having hotel rooms, and this is a beautiful, beautiful resort that being next to the convention center helps obviously attract new conventions and shows.
Yeah, we're really excited to watch the progress there. Elliot and his team and the Manhattan Construction, who's building it, is doing a fantastic job. I think they're on schedule to, you know, to complete this third quarter here, which is great. I can tell you that our team is already working on some really exciting events coming up in 26 and 27. We have a couple multi-year contracts out there already for bringing in some great associations, some Fortune 500 companies, and it's really going to change the face of this convention center and what we're able to do for this community.
You're wearing a Paul Skeens shirt. You're going to the game tomorrow. Paul's pitching, and you have three sons. What a special, that's what's great about baseball. And that's what I remember. I have three brothers. My dad took us to a Pirates game, you know, first game I was ever in person to be with my dad and brothers, to smell the popcorn and hear programs, you know, that kind of stuff.
Larry, you were a five-time All-Star second baseman.
Yeah, I don't want to bring that up, but I might have played a little bow myself. But anyway, how cool was that for your kids to be able to share this with you?
Oh, definitely. Baseball is really a special sport as our national pastime, and I think you said it best. It's the memories that get created that really makes it such a special sport. And being able to be here and get a little bit more involved in the Pittsburgh Pirates and their spring training, it's really been just a great perk or a blessing, really, by coming here. And, you know, I got to study a lot about what's going on with the Pirates. I mean, there's so much excitement right now with this young talent. I mean, first of all, Paul Skeens is, a once-in-a-generation talent, and Lord willing, he stays healthy, and I think he's going to be a Pirate for at least the next several years here. And Onel Cruz, and got some great young talent, and I think they're going to be able to put a good product on the field, at least from what I've seen this spring training.
To me, Tony, there's still something, even with this high-tech world we live in, magical about baseball and the radio. I remember at night in the summer, out in the porch, you would hear in the neighborhood, you'd hear the ball game on. And we're carrying the game tonight. We're the original flagship for the Pirates. It's the Tigers and Bucks. 6 o'clock, by the way, is first pitch. And we've got it on KDK this evening. That said, Elliot has introduced me to the other amenities around the region. So if Pittsburghers think Bradenton, they think Pirates, spring training. But then some people say, is there a beach nearby, right, Elliot?
Absolutely. And where we sit here today, outside of the peak season, about 20 minutes to Anna Maria Island. But Tony and I are working together with the cities to bring the water ferry over here to the Marriott. So then you can have his staff jitney you down to the water ferry and shoot right out to Anna Maria Island, and it would be about a 40-minute ride. So we're probably about a year and a half away from there. But, Tony, this is the only number two Marriott Resort and Spa on the west coast of Florida, the other one being Sanibel. And aside from this beautiful beach club, you have the spa and the M Club, one of the best M Clubs that you'll find in the Marriott system.
Yeah, our M Club is unique. We've definitely followed the brand standards with Marriott, and it's right there on our first lobby. So it's right there to let everybody know about it. A lot of the M Clubs are kind of located maybe on an upper floor. Not everybody knows about it, but our M Club is right there on the first floor. Our design team did an incredible job with making it a very, you know, elegant again, experience, but yet still comfortable. And really what we do a good job of in that M Club is engaging it with a higher food and beverage. I mean, we just served octopus in there the other day. We do sushi, you know, and lox and bagels in the morning. I mean, it's a really, really nice spread when you come in there.
It's 24/7.
We've got a $30,000 coffee machine. As we're drinking them here this morning, you know, full Starbucks menu offering available to you 24/7. So, yeah, our M Club is definitely special. We've got our spa. It's roughly 3,500 square feet, five treatment rooms, two outdoor treatment cabanas. We're doing everything state-of-the-art. Our spa team just got back from the national conference, iSpa, and we're doing everything state-of-the-art. We do a glow facial program. We have
hydro. Can you do one of those on Elliot?
I know. He needs one.
I'm made for radio, Larry.
I think he needs to be exfoliated. I don't know. But yeah, everything state of the art out of that spa, and you know, it really does set up. We use like a combination of a JW and a Western brand standard, because we couldn't find a, you know, specifically a Marriott resort brand standard. So the look and the feel and the comfortability of it, it's a pretty special area.
And we can't thank you enough for your hospitality. It is a beautiful and game-changing amenity in the region. So congrats to you. And we'll see you at Lee-Com Park tomorrow.
We'll be there tomorrow.
So you're going to be seven rows behind the plate.
I can't miss. I can't miss Paul Skeens pitching on his last spring training debut before he goes out and opens up the season for the Pirates over in Miami on the 27th.
Yeah, that's the issue with these types of funds. There's one at the federal level called FOCA, and then Pennsylvania's
game and the Steelers game in the Berg.
It's been a while. Elliot took me there a few years ago. I got to go to a Pirates game, but I would love to go to a Steelers game.
There's not enough to go around for everybody, and unfortunately,
Tony DeRusso,
it's a significant amount of money that the state puts out every month. I mean, every year.
And White News Desk, as the Colonials. Well, it's their time to shine against Alabama today in the NCAA tourney. This is RMU head coach Andy Toole.
They're going to go out to compete. They're going to go out, and they're going to want to play the game the way we've been playing it. They're going to want to play well, and they're going to go out, and they're going to go out swinging.
And I would imagine, Paul, a lot of eyes, 1240, are going to be on that game. And didn't Paul Alexander tell us yesterday that, and give us an example of how this would work for an individual, and how would they these two reach days out to watch basketball to, and another get 23% from you about the Center for Victims are monitoring the games.
Exactly, that's what he said. And one of the reports on KDKA-TV last night showed packed bars, watch bars, so where people were taking in the games. Obviously, there were a lot of people who weren't working. Airports worldwide, including Pittsburgh International, are affected by an airport closing in London.
Heathrow Airport will be closed all day today due to a power outage caused by a fire at a substation that supplies the world's busiest airport. More than 1,300 arrivals and departures will be affected, and the closure is expected to cause major disruption over the next few days.
And I'm thinking, you know, it's the butterfly effect in this case.
You can also do it on your own.
Is it the busiest or one of the busiest airports? Either way, it's a chain reaction that can affect a lot of travel.
Well, Larry, I just checked my facts on that, and actually London Heathrow is the fifth busiest airport based on passenger traffic. Number one would be Atlanta Hartsfield, believe it or not, but it is Europe's busiest airline hub. One of a kind, Paul Skeens rookie card. We've been talking about that this morning. It sold overnight for big bucks, more than $1 million.
And remember, this was the one of one, and the Pirates and other entities offered you got it. The
all
president,
kinds
CEO,
of
the Center
special
victims,
opportunities, Lori, but the young McDonald man wanted in California, and I understand show
portion of the proceeds
really
are going to benefit
Austin Davis,
the fire victims
by the way,
in
Lieutenant
California.
Governor, who is from our area,
and that's what
and,
people are talking about.
He's a rising star
in Pittsburgh
in his world with the governor. So appreciate them and what they do. It's not something that a lot of people want to talk about necessarily, but if you're somebody who has experienced and been a victim, that's really important information. And when we come back, we're going to be Trending with T, a new series we started with our own Tamira Rush this week on the Big K Morning Show. Next. In the studio, so let me explain. I'm in Florida staring at the sunshine and palm trees at the Marriott Resort and Spa. And
Larry?
Yes, there you are.
I am here.
Good morning, sunshine.
Hi. Is there sunshine where you are? Because it's definitely shining here. That's for sure.
Yeah, we have it too. So
this Paul Skeens was a one of one,
yes.
correct?
Yes, the one of one card, $1 million. An 11-year-old found this card. Can you imagine being 11 years old, finding a card, and deciding that you were going to sell it?
This reminded me of that movie, you know, Willy Wonka, when everyone was trying to get the golden tickets.
Yes.
Only this case, there was only one, and people had spent thousands of dollars buying these boxes of baseball cards to get this one of one. And to your point, an 11-year-old in California was the winner. And I understand some of the money's going to go help the fire victims there in California.
That is correct. That is exactly correct, which is a great thing, right? But to have an 11-year-old be in position to have something like this and to decide that he would much rather spend some time with Skeens, which is great. That is an actual hometown story. So let's transition to Tiger Woods. How about that?
What is Tiger? No, so Tiger Woods is dating a Trump.
He is dating a Trump. The story behind this has me laughing because Tiger apparently, it was kind of something that was just like between the two of them, and not very many people knew that he was dating Vanessa. So he felt the need that he was going to call his wife to inform her, to let her know that the rumor's out, everyone knows, and he felt like he had to tell his wife that he was dating Vanessa. And Vanessa is the ex-wife of Donald Jr. So there's so much buzz about this, and this is why Tiger was at the White House, and he was dating Vanessa. So, I mean, now Tiger is a Trump. He went from a Tiger
well,
to a
Trump. Well, let's be honest. The president loves golf, so I'm sure he knew Tiger for many years. Maybe he's just trying to get some additional tips.
But you would think that would be some kind of, like, animosity, right? I mean, it is his son. Don Jr. is his son, and now he's dating Vanessa, which is the ex-wife of his son. I mean, you would think on the golf course there would be some talk, I'm sure, some insight. But
well,
anyway,
I think when you get on the golf course, T, you have to let all the other stuff go and just focus on the game.
Okay.
Right.
And last but not least, the Super Bowl featured one person who some people felt like they didn't know, but here he is.
They not like us. They not like us.
And that's Kendrick Lamar. And word is he will be performing at the Olympics. How about that?
Yeah, when are the Olympics? This summer or no? Which Olympics?
2028. It is going to be in California in 2028, Larry.
Why would they announce that 2028? I'm just having a hard time getting through the weekend worried about what's going on in 2028.
But he's the hot topic out. He's the hottest person out, and everyone, I mean, depending on if you like, I'm a fan of Kendrick Lamar. So, I mean, you got to keep it going. He was at the, people say enough was enough. He was at the Super Bowl. They had enough of him then. But hey, he's up and running for performing in the Olympics, so we got to wait and see. We're trending with T
to Myra Rush.
You decide.
You have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. And by the way, we are broadcasting here at the Marriott Resort and Spa. We have the general partner, Tony DeRusso, who is, what does that mean, general partner? I mean, you're the guy that helped put this deal together how many years ago?
I first came out here to see if we were going to build a hotel. It was 10 years ago.
10 years in the making.
10 years, yep. And a lot of time on feasibility and due diligence. And we broke ground on the fourth largest underground stormwater management system in the state of Florida in October of 2019. And I can tell you what happened in March of 2020. A little thing called the coronavirus. So that put us on a 18-month delay while we had to, we lost our construction loan, had to get a new construction loan, and then re-attack it. And we re-broke ground again in January of 22, and we've been only looking back since. So.
And Elliot Felcioni, who's our Pittsburgh connection, you've been here, what, 32 years, Elliot?
Started my 32nd year, October 18th.
And you worked for the Pirates. And my joke is, Elliot came down for spring training and never left, Tony.
I think a lot of people are doing that.
What was neat, you know, working for the Pirates, still have a partnership with the Pirates. Blessed to be part of some of the negotiations to extend the Pirates contract here in Bradenton. As you know, Larry, we have a really strong relationship with the Pittsburgh Penguins and now our good friend Kevin Colbert with the Steelers. So it's been really, really special. You know, everything comes back to Pittsburgh. Lee Hancock, who pitched for the Pirates in the early 90s, is the principal owner of this hotel, and he trained in Bradenton in 1990. He said, Elliot, why didn't the amenities look like this
when I was training? And
yeah.
Steve Blass.
So, salt of the earth, just one-of-a-kind guy. We're glad he's a business owner in our community.
You know who's a big fan of the Pirates is former Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert.
Yeah, I heard he's in town, too.
He's here. We're going to talk to him. Coming up right after the news with Paul Rasmussen next on the Big K Morning Show. The two is Marty Griffin. We'll catch up with Marty in the next hour, see what he's working on today. Larry Richard, the Big K Morning Show, broadcasting from the beautiful new Marriott Resort and Spa here in Florida, right next to the Convention Center in Palmetto, across the Manatee River from downtown Bradenton. And I'm with Executive Director of Convention and Visitors Bureau, they call him the tourism director, Elliot Falcioni. And Elliot, you know, as a Pittsburgher, that Pittsburghers, we just love sports. So it's no surprise that former Steelers general manager, two-time Super Bowl champ Kevin Colbert, has always supported the other sports. But I'll bet you didn't know, Robert Morris University, Kevin recruited basketball players, and Kevin joins us from Holmes Beach, where he's staying with his lovely wife Janice in a signature Marriott little boutique hotel.
Marriott Autograph Collection, absolutely.
Autograph Collection. Kevin Colbert, good morning.
What's up, guys? How are we doing today?
We're doing great, man. This is, as you know, you've been here most of the week. You went to see the Pirates at Lecom Park already, but I remember, Kevin, when you would come down with Coach Tomlin. It was kind of a once-a-year thing and meet up with the team and the managers, right?
Yeah, it was always, you know, part of the pro day circuit, which, you know, Coach and Omar are out on that circuit right now. We'd always try to conveniently map a little break into the Bradenton area and spend a day back then with Clint, you know, Clint Hurdle when he was the manager and Neil Huntington when he was the GM, and just share a day and talk through some different strategies and different ways of, you know, doing business in the professional sports world. We learn from each other, and that's where we developed a great relationship with Clint that, you know, we still hold to this day, and, you know, we're anxious to go to the event he holds for his daughter, Maddie, on Saturday night.
Yeah, and Clint Hurdle is now also a homeowner, has been for a while. He kind of fell in love with the place when he was managing the Bucs and has a home on Anna Maria Island, which is, for those that don't know, when you come to Bradenton and Lecom Park, you go out onto the island. There's Holmes Beach there, and as you go south, you also have Longboat Key. So you're at Holmes Beach, and unlike when you were, you know, deep in the throes of being a general manager, you're just relaxing this week. So how are you liking the beach life?
Oh, it's great. I mean, you know, it's a very active area. There's a ton going on. And, again, you're on the beach, but there's so much more to this area. I took a walk yesterday. We took a walk the day before just to, you know, kind of explore it hands-on. And there's just little restaurants and stores and just areas where you can get away right to the, you know, right to the water if you want to as well. So Bradenton is great, but having a little escape out this way is also very nice.
We're with Kevin Colbert, who is here in part to support Clint Hurdle's charity for Prader-Willi's disease, which we're going to talk to Clint in the next hour. He also has a book out called Hurdleisms, which is really catching on. That said, many people might not know, Kevin, you're a North Catholic grad, but you're a graduate of RMU. I'm guessing I know what you're doing at 12:40 today.
we can't wait, man. It is, it's exciting, you know. Listen, Coach Toole has done a great job of outlining the big challenge that Alabama presents to Robert Morris. But boy, you know, you live for those moments where, you know, Andy and his team and his coaches, they won the Horizon League, and the reward for doing that is that automatic bid to the NCAA. And you know, hey, we get in there, we're probably going to be a lower seed. We're probably going to have to face a higher seed, and so be it. Oakland University did that last year when they took on and beat Kentucky and Pittsburgh. And I know Coach Toole will have his group up and ready, and you know, they'll take on that challenge, and they'll fight. And there's no question about that. And hopefully we can come out on top. And as you stated, I'll be glued watching every second of that game.
And that said, also I mentioned at the top, and Ellie, you'll appreciate, Kevin was a recruiter, but not for football first. Basketball, right, Kev?
Yeah, that was back in the days when, you know, Matt Ferjanik was our head coach at Robert Morris. And, you know, Matt asked me to be his graduate assistant. I said, Matt, I can't coach. I got cut in high school. I wasn't very good. And he said, don't worry, you're not going to coach. All you're going to do is recruit. And, you know, long story short, that's actually how I met my wife, Janice, recruiting our point guard, Forrest Grant, out of Beaver Falls. You know, and Forrest was part of the first team that won, you know, went to the NCAA along with you know, other great players like Chipper Harris and Tommy Parks and Skip Koskoski. I mean, we had some good players, and we put together a nice little team. I had left and gotten into football when they played that first round. It was against Coach Knight and the Indiana Hoosiers, and we came out on the wrong side. But again, it was a huge moment for Robert Morris. So hopefully we can replicate that today.
And Kevin, the March Madness is so much fun, but I know you probably appreciate how the entire region is pulling for RMU right now, regardless of where they went to school.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we went through it last year, you know, when Duquesne had their great season, and, you know, they got into the NCAA, and it's just great, you know. It's great for the mid-majors to have that opportunity. Coach Toole touched on that today in an article in the Post-Gazette. It's important. It's important for those schools, and it's also important for college basketball in general, because it does create an atmosphere of, you know, kind of the David versus the Goliath syndrome. And when the smaller schools are able to pull off a victory, it's just great. It's great TV. It's great for each university. And it's a challenge both ways. It really is. And again, I know the Robert Morris community, Dr. Patrick and Chris, Dr. Patrick, our president, and Chris King, our AD, and all of our student athletes in the student group, even though they're on spring break, I know everybody's going to be watching this game from wherever they are.
Yeah, we're all Robert Morris fans today. That said, many people wonder, you obviously retired from a very successful career with the Steelers, two Super Bowl championships, you've been at the highest level, but you haven't retired. You're still working. Explain what your new role is.
Well, just doing a little bit of consulting. Myself and Oliver Luck, you know, the former AD at West Virginia who played for the Houston Oilers back in the day, Andrew Luck's father, with this new salary cap world that the colleges are facing when it's officially signed into law, which we think it will be in the beginning of next month. They're facing a lot of new challenges with revenue sharing that's going to be available, a salary cap for college athletics, and, of course, the NIL world. And, you know, we're just offering a viewpoint from people who have been on this side of the equation dealing with the salary cap. So right now we're working with Colorado State, and we're working also with Vanderbilt University, and, you know, just trying to help these schools navigate these new waters, because it's new for everybody. And, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people get upset about the college athletes making money, and, you know, I don't get upset with it at all. I do know that we have to do more to control and right, make it more sustainable for long term, and that's what Oliver and I are trying to work with.
Just a couple of other questions for you, Kev. How exciting is it that the Steelers and the city and region in Pittsburgh will be hosting the NFL draft next year?
Man, you know, not a lot of talk about it yet because obviously everybody's focused on the 2025 draft and, you know, up in Green Bay and, you know, how each team was, particularly the Steelers.
Weekend, Larry Richard broadcasting from the beautiful Marriott Resort and Spa next to the Convention Center in Palmetto, across the Manatee River from downtown Bradenton at the Beach Club, which is beautiful. Infinity pool overlooking the river in a beautiful vista. And I'm sitting here with Elliot Falcioni, who is the executive director of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, Tony DeRusso, who is the managing partner of this great resort, and happy to bring to you from Anna Maria Island, Clint Hurdle. Skipper, good morning.
It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of great national exposure.
Clint, can you hear us?
Again, let's get through 2025, but then once that 2025 is over, each and every day you're going to read about and talk about and hear about that 2026 draft being held in Pittsburgh. And I know, you know, that Art and his group.
Yeah, let me get it for you. I apologize. Sure I sent it to, you know, somebody else. Anyway,
great host. It will be,
we'll get it to you right now. Stand by. That's on
Elliot
me,
is
not on Aaron.
Director, this is,
I don't
a dream
want you to. I send it to
Pittsburgh
Elliot again
for that draft, right?
Oh,
you know,
the
when
economic
you're looking
impact
at
is going to be
Elliot
unbelievable for
Aaron.
The city of Pittsburgh.
So
the
we'll
urban
get Clint
core,
on here in just a second.
Maybe
meanwhile,
800
guys,
to a million people will
Clint
probably
Hurdle,
descend.
Obviously, when he was
area.
Managing
it's the
Pirates
event, public event,
enjoyed this area so much, he eventually, even though he's still in baseball,
from
it's not full time, right?
From the county.
It's pretty much full time. I think he's.
All right, Kev.
He'll tell us,
go,
but he's with the Colorado Rockies as a special assistant.
I have to ask you,
and you know,
you
we can't forget that iconic rookie photo on the cover of Sports Illustrated magazine. Right after he was drafted, so he came into baseball as, you know, one of the rising stars in the league.
Year. And of course, I know.
And the
fact
that fell in love with
Anna
Maria Island. Not a bad place to be.
Yeah, him coaching the Pirates all these years. Years, and you know, many of them staying out on Anna Maria Island for that 6-7 week period. Many of them fall in love with it, and Clint was one of them for sure. Of course, Bruce Keeson, the late Bruce Keeson, lived here. Tony Barterome, the longtime trainer, Milt May, Brian McCray, Hal McCray. We can go on and on, Larry, of all the baseball players that have retired here.
And we have Clint Hurdle with us from Anna Maria Island. Skipper, good morning.
I'm sure he can do some good.
Good morning, Larry. How you doing?
Hey, if they end up.
Outstanding, sir. We're excited to be here for the last weekend of spring training. I'm bringing home the Bucks and thinking about you and what you meant to the city of Pittsburgh and bringing us three straight playoff appearances and a lot of great memories. And one of those is just attending one of the blackout nights at the game, something I'll never forget. And I know you have fond memories of Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh Pirates fans.
You know, we were spoiled.
Well, I do. I don't. If you're connected properly, and, I don't know, think you can invest 9 years of your life into something as passionate as Pirate Baseball and not walk away changed and different. The city embraced my family. We were able to rebond the city with the baseball team. There was a lot of fingerprints on success in our organization for that 3-year run, and actually four winning seasons
at
the time we were there.
First four.
I love the bird. I love the fans. It was an honor to be their manager, and I'm excited for the upcoming baseball season for the Buckeyes.
Thank you. And for those who don't know, you're still in baseball, just not full-time.
Take care, Kevin. Suntan lotion at the beach today.
Yeah.
I am currently, it was my fourth season as a special assistant for the general
manager. From the Goldberg, Persky, and White News Desk, number one, the Colonials' time to shine today against Alabama in the NCAA tourney. RMU head coach Andy Tuohy.
They're going to go out to compete. They're going to go out and they're going to want to play the game the way we've been playing it. They're going to want to play well, and they're going to go out and they're going to go out swinging.
We just talked to
Kevin Goldberg, and I work up and down our affiliate ladder, our minor league player development program. him. I work with the managers and the young coaches
because of that,
and our young players.
I know what he'll be doing at 12:40.
And Clint, you
today.
Have been so
number two airports worldwide, including
so
Pittsburgh International, are affected by an airport
enough,
closing in London.
Airlines have canceled around 500 flights to and from the U.S. Officials are now looking into the cause of the fire, and they hope they can get flights back off the ground as early as tomorrow.
And it's London's Heathrow Airport that's closed.
Really, they're inspirational.
And that is the busiest European
for everybody.
Airport.
And now, finally,
in the world behind
you
only
just recently published
one
a book
is
called
Hurdleism,
which is becoming
this
very,
is
very
having
popular.
A ripple effect.
So what culminated you for you to put the book out?
So
I assume
you're going
the
anywhere,
interest in everything you were putting out daily. Carrier.
Yeah, can you imagine, Larry, what would it be like in the United States if it was Atlanta or maybe DFW that was shut down for a whole day?
A heavy interest.
And number number three, a one-of-a-kind Paul Skeens rookie card sold overnight for big bucks, more than $1 million.
A bunch of people, you know, reached out again. Hey, a couple trips, your life story. And I was just, as long as I was in uniform, I didn't have any interest in pursuing writing a book. And then the time in Pittsburgh, and after walking through, you know, that nine-year period
and that's what people are talking about on the Big K Morning Show.
It was so electric on the North Shore. Some more people reached out. And finally, when I put the uniform away and I had a couple of years off, I had a friend reach back, and he wanted to write a book. And his idea was for me to co-author the book, which I thought was brilliant because it meant I didn't have to do any hard work. He was a writer. He had written good books. He would do the heavy lifting. We'd just get together on occasion. He'd take the interviews, and we'd put it together. We did that over 2 years. We went to publishers, and the messaging was very similar from like 20 different publishing houses. It was stale, male, and pale. Two white guys chopping it up, sharing experience drinking up. It's a small demographic. So first I got sad, then I got mad, and then we said, okay, let's self-publish. And I said, well, geez, this isn't working out the way I thought. I thought we'd write a book, and the money we'd make, we'd donate to a nonprofit. Now I'm going to pay money to get the book out there. My friend said, hey, call your buddy John Gordon. John's a well-known publisher, inspirational speaker. He's a heavy hitter. I didn't want to bother any of my buddies in the book industry. He says, just shoot the book to John and see what he thinks. So, because Dave had done so much hard work, I said, Dave, I'll honor your request. I sent the book to John. John said, Clint, this demographic's not going to work. You know, they're going to tell you don't have enough followers. You're not on social media platforms. Neither's Dave. And anyway, he goes, but here's my point. He's, after reading this book and knowing you for 14 years, you need to write a book. Larry, I was like, oh, man, this is not the game. No, and I gave him like 10 reasons why I didn't need to write a book. And he goes, so you're afraid. Well, I got my attention. And I went 13-year-old Clint, and Fisk came up, and I gave him 10 reasons why I was not afraid. And at the end of that, he goes, so you're just really afraid. And guys, at the end of the day, I was afraid. Rejection, disappointment, too much work, never done it, all new ground. But here I am, a guy that's talking about growing and learning and transparency, and my son's pushing me to stretch outside myself. So I finally put my hands down. The clenched fists went to open hands. The arms went by my side. And I said, okay, I'm going to give it a shot, and I'll give it everything I've got. So it was about a year period, a month and a half prep, 9 months of writing, and a month and a half prep on the backside, and we published a book.
And I have read parts of it, and really inspirational on things that you have said to your players over the years and other people to share, again, really open about your life and your challenges, and I think that inspires all because all of us on different levels have similar issues to deal with, and I think that's why it's being received so well, because it resonates from honesty.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think there's truth to that. I've learned that, you know, when you tell the truth, you only got to tell it once. You know, the lion game that I used to play a little bit, man, that gets to be a spider's web, and you forget the who you said what to, when, and how, and it just complicates the matter. I learned a while ago, you know, thankfully, that transparency and authenticity are superpowers. And then if you'll add vulnerability to it, people relate to that. More people have gone through struggles and have raised a Super Bowl trophy or a World Series trophy. And at the end of the day, I'm another guy. I'm another man that's experienced a lot of things. So I wanted to be very transparent in sharing lessons that I've learned the hard way, some not the hard way, but a lot of them the hard way. And then I tied a professional lesson that came from it and a personal lesson that came from it. And there's 25 of them in the book. And, you know, when you can talk about divorce and alcoholism and you know, being fired, being traded, being all these other things that I've gone through, released, rejected, and then at two different times to be put in front of organizations that, you know, are worth billions of dollars, over billions of dollars, to be the guy down the dugout calling the shots. Obviously, there was a transformation somewhere along the line to earn that to earn that opportunity.
Well, Clint, I really respect your honesty and to your point about telling the truth. My dad always said, if you tell the truth, you never have to remember what you said. And there's something that's very relieving for you to be that way. And you've certainly inspired a lot of people. This book will help you further that. And tomorrow night, you recognize the challenges of Prader-Willi's disease with your daughter, Madison. And I have a first cousin, Alan, who in Pittsburgh is still doing well, but dealing with the same challenges. Tell us about that.
This will be the 11th annual Clint Hurdle Hot Stove fundraiser for Prader-Willi syndrome. I've been the national spokesperson basically about a year into Maddie's birth. So it's a deletion of the 15th chromosome. That's your satiation chromosome. It lets you know that you're hungry, and it lets you know you're full. And our kid's 15th chromosome is blown up really at conception, and they are never ever full. And I can't, to this day, I can't imagine how that complicates everything else you do in life when you are hungry while you're doing life. Maddie had delays with fine motor skills, gross motor skills. She found her joy in the water. The buoyancy of the water got her off the ground. That she didn't have to struggle with walking or running. She developed late on those issues. Put her in the water. She loves it. She's a Special Olympic swimmer. But most of her, now that she's 22, Larry Boat, most of her functions at about a 12-year-old scale. So we took it upon ourselves to find a way to raise money. You attended last year. I spent an hour in my home with Kevin Colbert and his wife Janice yesterday. There's a lot of Pittsburgh heartbeats connected to this program now. So many people started early with us for the hot stove when I joined the Pirates, and now we're up and running, and we raised anywhere, you know, around $250,000 a year in this one night event, which is a lot of money for a syndrome that still a lot of people have never ever heard of.
Well, thank you. What you have done, most people would never know. In Pittsburgh alone, with the Children's Institute and other organizations. Clint, I'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. Thanks for the time this morning, partner.
I really appreciate you, and I appreciate the way you support everything that's got the Berg dripping from it. You're a good man, and I'm honored to call you friend.
Clint Hurdle on the Big K Morning Show. What a guy. Oh, and Dan Zangrilli joins us this morning. Dan, I know you probably heard little bit of Clint Hurdle. We went a little longer than we would, but I just, it's so powerful, his messaging, and you know this as well as anybody.
Yeah, I've known Clint for a long time, and tough act to follow here, Larry. Thanks for having me. I know he's very passionate about all things that he does, and he's touched over the course of, you know, his career and his life. I understand he's got a book out there, and of course everything with his daughter. It's not surprising that he's still as invested as he is.
And we appreciate all the work you do. And you're really a guy that wears many hats for us. And one of those, the great knowledge you've had in baseball and your work with us for all the high school stuff. But you're here to announce something special.
Yeah, our KDKA radio high school sports platform continues to evolve, to grow, to be consistent, because, well, that's what KDKA does. Our KDKA radio kickoff classic live at the Wolverina in conjunction with our friends at Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union, Woody High, the home of the Wolverines. The Wolverina, you know, that iconic spot last year we announced our inaugural kickoff classic. It's coming back for a second year, and there are five games over 2 days, and it will kick off the 2025 high school football season. And the matchups, Larry, are incredible. Do you mind if I go through them?
Yeah, what do you got, man? I want to hear.
So how about your North Allegheny Tigers against the Woodland Hills Wolverines to begin things on Friday at 5 o'clock. This is August 22nd. And then Central Catholic, the Vikings, will take on an Eastern Pennsylvania powerhouse, LaSalle College High School. So that'll be a tremendous nightcap and a great 6A clash against a couple of heavyweights. And then the following day, on Saturday, August 23rd, there'll be three games, the first of which will pit McKeesport, the Tigers, against a team called Delaware Valley. They're from, I believe, Polk County. Out in the eastern part of the state, really good high school football program. 3:30, you've got Steel Valley and Westinghouse, so a little Homewood versus Homestead kind of action there. Looking forward to that coming up. And then 7 o'clock, it'll be a good one. Mon Valley battle between West Mifflin and Elizabeth Ford. So some really good Pennsylvania-centric games, all consolidated over one weekend, the opening weekend of the KDKA Radio Kickoff Classic live at the Wolverina.
And I want people to know, Dan, how much work you've put into this whole process leading up to this with our GM, Michael Spack. This is something that's become a passion project and helps us reach out to communities and has made a big difference. And this is an event now that people are really looking forward to. So thanks, partner.
Yeah, and we've got community support. We've got sponsor support. Again, Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. They've been terrific partners. And, yeah, it's been
Angelo.
Labor of love. Yes, exactly. You know Angelo. He's your buddy. You're friends with everybody. You're friends with Elliot, Clint. I mean, all down there in Bradenton, staying warm, making friends, shaking hands.
Well, I'll tell you what. Babies. You've been a big part of being down here over the years many times yourself. How about we close and bring back the Bucks right after the news with Paul at the bottom of the hour, Dan. A pirate for life. We're going to check in with the one and only Steve Blass.
There's no one better. Thanks, Larry.
All right, Dan. Have a great weekend. Dan Zangrilli on the Big K Morning Show. And I mean this. They put so much work and effort into what they do with our high school programs in this Kickoff Classic is going to be a thriller. Larry Richard live at the Marriott Resort and Spa, right next to the convention center here, across the Manatee River from downtown Bradenton in Palmetto at the Beach Club. And want to thank Tony DeRusso, general partner, who has been more than generous in hosting us, and Elliot Felcioni, executive director of the Bradenton Convention and Visitors Bureau. Thank you. For after 24 years of knowing you, to be part of just watching and seeing what's grown here, pretty special.
Well, you're a big part of our success as our ambassador, Larry, and you helped embrace the sister city relationship, so let's just keep it rolling.
And one of the things that you put together was a speaker series, and yesterday, the speaker, a pirate for life, Steve Blass, who joins us. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. I'm so basking in the thought of what happened yesterday. I didn't know what to expect. I thought it would go well, but it couldn't have gone better with the venue at the Manatee Performing Arts Center. What Elliot and Janine put together for the set, and Greg and I had a ball, and the audience was such a great group and receptive and engaged. I've done a lot of speaking. I don't know if I've had a better time with a group than I had yesterday. It was just terrific.
Well, for a World Series champion pitcher, I heard you hit it out of the park yesterday, truly.
I didn't hit many home runs, but I had one 1,000 years ago. But yeah, yesterday was a grand slam. I had more fun. I just left the building with a big smile on my face, and Greg Brown was terrific, and it was just one of those days that just everybody had a great time, and so glad to be a part of it, and I'm still thinking about it.
Well, Steve, we're wrapping up spring training going into this weekend here. We're going to bring back the Bucs. Let's talk a little baseball. Speaking of pitchers, you know, all eyes have been on Paul Skeens. How about his one-of-one baseball card going for $1.1 $1 million could you ever have imagined when you got into the bigs it would be this big?
Yeah, your bubblegum card, yeah. Because I left the bidding when it went over $1 million. So I was impressed. And, you know, when I talk about Paul Skeens, I'm impressed with everything. You know, it comes down to the value of a bubblegum card. But this guy is generational. And, you know, what we saw last year was absolutely terrific. And I'm looking for him to have over 30 starts and stay healthy and see what he can do over the length of a complete season. Now that he's really got his feet on the ground in terms of the actual physical pitching thing, now he's got a foundation that he can work from. Last year when he came up, everything was kind of brand new at the major league level, but that's not the case this year. So I'm very exciting and excited because this guy, what I've read about and talked to a little bit to him about, he wants to find out how good he can be. And I've always kind of preached that to prior players when I've had a chance to make presentations in their clubhouse on a few occasions. You know, you work so hard to get to the big leagues. Now, don't be content. Don't be content and relax. Oh, I'm here. Find out how good a major leaguer you can be, because there's all kind of levels once you get there. You can be a really dependable everyday player. You can be a superstar. You can be a utility guy. But find out. You don't want to be sitting on the back porch when you're 85 saying, I made it. I wonder how good a major leaguer I could be. This guy is obsessed, I believe, with finding out how good he can be. And that's going to be just a great thing for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, with that being said, you need a cast around a guy like that. It's not just about Paul Skeens. So I think we're feeling pretty good about the pitching, but you know, as a result of the last couple of years, we need to get more offense. So we'll hope that a couple of guys with the bats, and that's all it takes, two or three guys to have breakout years, and then you can really do some damage. So I'm excited about it. Heck, I always am. The last week of spring training is just a great time. You know, you're excited to get to Florida for the start of spring training. You grind it out. And that last week, okay, let's get to it. Let's get to it. So I'm very excited.
And you should be. And tomorrow, Paul Skeens will be pitching against the Orioles at Lecom. That's the last game at home. And then two days off, and then the season starts a week from Thursday in Miami, and they've got four games there, play Tampa Bay, and then they come back for the home opener on Friday, April 4th, against the New York Yankees. So, Steve, we're looking forward to having you back in the Berg, and I know Elliot and I talked about you did such a great job yesterday. Seriously, we want to do that back in Pittsburgh at some point. So thanks for the time this morning, partner, and hope to see you over the weekend.
All right. Look forward to it, Larry. I had a great day. Thanks, Elliot, for that opportunity. You brought it up, and I'll see you. I'll see everybody back in Pittsburgh. I will be there with bells on April 4th. I can tell you that.
Thanks so much, Steve. Appreciate it, buddy. Great to hear from you.
Steve Blass.
Persky and White News Desk. Number one, it's the Colonials' time to shine against Alabama today in the NCAA tourney. RMU head coach Andy Toole.
They're going to go out to compete. They're going to go out and they're going to want to play the game the way we've been playing it. They're going to want to play well, and they're going to go out and they're going to go out swinging.
And we talked to a very famous alum, Kevin Colbert, former GM of the Steelers, two-time Super Bowl champ. He's as fired up as anyone, Paul.
The second big story, Larry, airports worldwide, including Pittsburgh to a certain degree, are affected by an airport closing in London. Heathrow has been shut down by a transformer fire.
Airlines have canceled around 500 flights to and from the U.S. Officials are now looking into the cause of the fire, and they hope they can get flights back off the ground as early as tomorrow.
Boy, that would be a blessing. A lot of people are going to end up being stuck at least an extra day, maybe more.
And a one-of-a-kind Paul Skeens rookie card sold overnight. Big bucks, Larry. More than $1 million somebody paid.
Yeah, and Steve Blass, a Pirate for Life who we just talked to, said he cut his bidding off at $1 million. So what is cool, though, is a portion of the proceeds are going to benefit the firefighters in California where they had those horrific and devastating fires just a couple of months ago. And that's what people...
Smithson.